What if we taught children the way the brain actually learns? This is a quote from today's guest, Christy Hayworth from All Kids Can Education. Christy is a dyslexia therapist, parent coach, multi-sensory learning and Orton-Gillingham specialist. Can't wait to hear more about that. A mama of two beautifully, differently wired kiddos, a specialist educator, and she brings 20 years of knowledge and experience to the Child Charmer podcast. And we can't wait to learn more from her amazing brain. So thank you, Christy, for being here.
Thanks, Chrissy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I love everything you're doing, and I love that quote. Tell me why you love that quote so much.
Likewise, because of the fact that we are so commonly entrenched in teaching kids the wrong way within the education system. And it's crazy because, I mean, why are we doing that? Why are we not teaching kids the way that their brain needs to learn to read? It is ridiculous.
Hallelujah!
You know, I mean, it's just... Let's not waste kids' time. Let's fully train educators to understand how to teach kids and wire their brains so that kids are successful.
Absolutely. I'm shaking my pom-poms over here for you, girlfriend, because I live and breathe this philosophy with you. We've got to work with the brains we've got right in front of us, right? So
yes.
You specialize as a dyslexia therapist and family coach. I'm really intrigued to hear a little bit more about multi-sensory learning and how that contributes to your incredible work that you're doing with kids and families.
Yeah, sure. So the approach that we take at All Kids Can and the evidence-based approach to teaching kids how to read and teaching kids full stop is one of the aspects of it is a multi-sensory structured language approach. So what that means is that we've got studies and research that shows us that the more lines of sensory input that we can put into a child at that one particular moment of learning experience, the more chance that that child has of cementing that knowledge. So when we are doing things like teaching kids how to use letter to sound correspondence, we need to be able to have three things intact. So we have to have visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. So if we don't have those three senses activated when we are teaching one little teaching point, then we're not going to get the outcome that we're desiring in terms of wiring that knowledge so that they can maintain it and then transfer it into their work later on.
Absolutely love that. It's a really holistic way of looking at academic learning, isn't it? I love that. So good. Now, I really want to pick your brains today, and I know that my community is going to absolutely love hearing this information from you. I know it's really complex and we could, you know, as much as we can unpack in a 20-minute podcast interview, can you help us learn more about dyslexia, the dyslexic neurotype, and how it presents in the human brain?
Yeah. So dyslexia is, it has, the word has Greek origins. So dys means difficult and lexia means word. So dyslexia is a direct translation, difficulty with words. So in terms of a language aspect or a literacy aspect with dyslexia, what I like to think of it is kind of like a circuit. And so the brain we know is very complex and there's a lot of circuits sort of going on and neurological pathways. And within a dyslexic brain, the neurological pathways for the phonological processing within the brain, which is the ability to work with sounds and letters, is not quite connected in the way that a neurotypical brain's might be. So what we need to do is to really connect those wires for those kids and strengthen those neurological pathways so that they have the ability to work with sounds and letters and strengthen that phonological part of their brain that is not naturally wired.
I love that. Strengthening the neural pathways is what it's all about, right? And I think, don't they say something like it takes 400 repetitions for a neuron to be formed in the brain, which is just all kinds of crazy. That's through talking, right? Talking alone, which is what we know about kids. They don't learn best from talking. We've got to have different approaches in the way that we're teaching them things, right? So through your work and through the people that you're working with, I'm sure you meet a lot of teachers and a lot of frazzled parents as well. But what are some of the biggest misconceptions out there in the community about dyslexia?
Probably the main one is that dyslexia is connected with intelligence. The reason why people think that is because the old model of diagnosis was related to a discrepancy between intelligence and the ability to read. We know now that that's debunked. There's actually no correlation between intelligence and that phonological part of the brain that is not quite wired yet. And so we need to make sure that we're just not assuming that dyslexics are going to be lower intelligence or even higher intelligence or anywhere, because there's just no correlation. The second thing is that parents get blamed a lot when kids don't learn how to read successfully within the school environment. And so I have heard so many times that teachers, well-meaning teachers, mind you, and principals are saying to parents, just read to them more. And these parents are saying, hey, I've been reading to them every bloody day of their lives and it's not working. So just making sure that we understand that just reading to kids is great and it's beautiful and it's going to help their language development and their vocabulary. However, it's not going to teach them how to read. They need a different approach, which is an explicit structured literacy approach. I guess the other thing is a lot of dyslexic kids are seen as lazy and they're seen as not trying hard enough. I think dyslexic kids have a hard enough time not being taught correctly how to read. And then on top of that, they're being crushed even further with the misconception that they're not trying. It is heartbreaking. And lastly, it's vision. So there is rose-colored glasses, the Erlen syndrome, all of that kind of stuff. There's no evidence behind it. There is vision can be a difficulty with dyslexia, but it's a symptom, it's not a root cause. So we need to make sure that we're getting into the root cause and not just whacking on a pair of colored glasses and thinking that's going to do the job.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening here that are going to be saying, I didn't know that about the dyslexic neurotype. Is dyslexia genetic, like neurodivergence?
Very much so, yeah.
So it is highly likely that if you have a child presenting as dyslexic, then it is going to come from the top down, as I like to say, either one of the
Yes.
parents who probably is, carrying some of their own educational journey, trauma, or, learning differences and those sorts of things. But once again, it's really about being empowered, isn't it, in understanding how we can improve the lives of children when we have the right information in front of us.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So then if we've got kids or teachers, because we know that we champion teachers on this podcast, we know they're doing the best that they can with the information that they have. I would say it's highly likely that it would be an educator who might recognize that a child is struggling, perhaps when they start school, for example, because that's formal learning is when kids formally start to be taught how to read. What would you say are some early indicators that a child may be presenting with a dyslexic neurotype?
Yeah. So there are some really early markers that we can see in toddlers. So if your child is perhaps a late talker, that's something to keep an eye on. If your child is having difficulty retelling stories and getting things in a sequential order, that's something to look at as well. And also difficulty finding words, particularly nouns. What else?
Don't know many 3-year-olds that know what a noun is, but
The parents know. So, like, get me my, and they want their drink bottle. Get me that thing with water. Like, they can't find the word drink bottle like that. So, what else? Left and right, back and front, inside out clothes. What else? That kind of thing. Do, do, do.
Once again, though, sorry
Yeah.
to cut you off, you can see how confusing this might be for parents because, like, all toddlers kind of do those things. Do you know what I mean? And I think so. Maybe it's once we hit the classroom where I know with my daughter in particular, although she's not dyslexic, she is neurodivergent. And one of the first things, obviously, as an experienced teacher, that I recognized was that she wasn't retaining information. Do you know what I mean? And so as a teacher, I could see that very clearly. But for parents who don't really know how kids learn to read, they think that it's just sitting down and reading a book, like you said. What are some things that parents might notice other than that?
Yeah, so later on, once kids get to school, it would be a difficulty with learning to read. So, particularly, I think it becomes more evident when kids hit around about grade three because the focus shifts in the classroom from learning to read to
Correct.
comprehending what we're reading.
Reading to
And
learn.
if kids at a younger age in those early primary school years when they're learning to read are being taught strategies like look at the picture, make a guess, memorize a whole lot of sight words, then what happens in grade three is their expectation of what they're supposed to be reading has increased so much that they're now reading paragraphs. The pictures have gone, the vocab has increased far beyond the words that we've just memorized. And we haven't been spending that early time learning how to decode words. So kids around that grade three level become lost. And then they start looking around them and seeing, hey, everyone else is reading. Why aren't I reading? I must be dumb. And then we get a whole myriad of issues going on with self-confidence and self-esteem and relating that inability to read with who they are as a person. So that's probably that's what you'll start to see. That's the typical story that I hear over and over and over again. So the most important thing is earlier on in that, first, second, and third year of school, make sure that your child is learning letter to sound correspondence and able to blend sounds together to read. Do not teach them to memorize words. Do not teach them to make guesses. Do not rely on pictures to learn to or to know or to think they know what that word says because that's not reading. So an indicator is the using those poor strategies and not being able to actually sound out and blend sounds together to read.
Amazing. And I'm sure a lot of parents are sitting here going, oh, that sounds really hard. But that's where you come in, and we're going to get to that
It's
in a
not
minute.
hard. It's so not hard.
And
Yep.
I love that. I love that you are able to teach families how to understand that in a really digestible, manageable way so that they can empower their kiddos as well. So if parents do suspect or teachers do suspect that the child or a student may be dyslexic, where do we start in terms of getting the child some support? Is there a test that we request or tell us what is the first steps that we take to supporting our children?
The first thing that you need to do is find out what approach that your child's school is using to teach reading and teach literacy, because chances are they're probably using what we call a balanced literacy approach. And that was what I was listing off before in terms of making guesses, memorizing words, using repetitive readers and text, all of that kind of thing. So if your child's school is using a balanced literacy approach, first thing you need to do is become informed about the science of reading. Understand how kids really need to learn to read through a structured literacy approach. So if once you become informed, speak to the teacher, let the teacher know that you've got concerns, that a balanced literacy approach is not working for your child, and your child learns through a structured literacy approach. Go and find a structured literacy specialist. Someone that specializes in the Orton-Gillingham method is ideal because it's so sequential and it layers one skill at a time rather than throwing a whole lot of skills in at the same time and overwhelming the child. So something that is very structured and systematic. And then what you want to do is your 6 months of intervention with that structured literacy specialist. So I should mention, please don't go down to the local high school girl down the road for tutoring. Make even the retired teacher that has no special ed training, you need someone that is specialized in a synthetic structured approach that is aligned with the science of reading. And then you do your 6 months of intervention. And then, if you wish to go for a diagnosis after that, an educational psychologist or a neuropsychologist or a speech therapist, sometimes I believe, will be able to do a diagnostic assessment with your child and then be able to give you a diagnosis or not. So, the reason why we do that 6 months of intervention is because when you go for a diagnosis, that psychologist will have a look at the response to that intervention throughout that 6 months. If you don't do that 6 months of intervention, what happens is you can end up with a provisional diagnosis and have to go and get that 6 months of intervention and then do it all over again. So it's a really important thing for parents to know that they need to make sure that they're engaging with evidence-based practice for their child to learn how to read, before they go for a diagnosis.
Okay, great advice. Fantastic. And is there a Dyslexia Australia website where people can find reputable information?
Yep. So I'll give you some email, some links, and you can pop it in the show notes. But the ADA, the Australian Dyslexic Association, is great. Just for general knowledge, understood.org, that's a good one. There's a lot of good evidence-based Facebook groups as well. Victoria, Dyslexic. Victorian Dyslexic Association or group, I'm not quite sure there, but I'll give you all the links so that parents can go a little bit further and become really informed.
And that's one of the things that I'm really hoping with the podcast is to support families with some of these, understanding some of these complexities. But also, there's just so much out there, Dr. Google. Do you know what I mean? I'm really hoping too that this podcast will be a really great bank of resources for families. So we've got reputable sites, Australian-based, evidence-backed, where they can trust that where they're going is the latest up-to-date research. Which is where you come in as well. So tell us very briefly a little bit about the amazing work that you're doing with kids. I have also, just for everybody listening, personally engaged with you to help out with some finding out where my little guy was at academically with his reading, which was amazing, which I know we're going to talk more about. But what are some of the services that you offer at All Kids Can, and how can people work with you?
Yeah, sure. So to get parents started, what I've done is created a little freebie for them. So if you go to allkidscan.com.au/rabbit, you can actually get started on understanding how we can have words, break them down into smaller chunks, and teach kids how to blend those sounds together in a really systematic way. So that's a good little entry point for parents if they want to see what this is all about. Aside from that, we also have a parent course called Step into Literacy. So doors are opening on the 3rd of June. I'm not sure when you're airing this podcast, but parents can jump on the wait list too through our website. And then in terms of when we go to the one-to-one tuition. So when parents contact me, the first thing that we'll do is go through a functional literacy assessment. So that's what I did with your little one. The reason why we do that is for a couple of reasons. So often the schools, when they're assessing kids, if they are using a balanced literacy approach at school, they will be using balanced literacy assessments. So that's actually not a true indicator of their ability to read because we know balanced literacy is all about guessing. So what we do is we assess kids with letter to sound correspondence. We need to know what letter to sound they know, what their phonological and phonemic awareness is like currently. currently, and also we need to know what their reading and decoding skills is like for three different types of words: regular, irregular, and non-words. And then also we assess the spelling as well of non-words to take out the variable that they've memorized the word. We need to see their direct phonetic ability and irregular words, so those words that aren't spelt the same way that they sound. And so that's the first marker in terms of like where we're starting. Like that's our starting point. And then we launch into our one-to-one tuition and through a structured literacy approach. Generally, parents book in with us weekly. Sometimes, if it's a severe case, we need to do bi-weekly. And then we do that 6 months of intervention. We reassess using those same assessments. And then we determine the response to that remediation. And generally, it will be, for a bit of a rule, it will be slower, and we would need more practice for kids that have severe dyslexia. However, if you have a child that is, dyslexia is a continuum. You can be affected by dyslexia a little bit, or you can be severely dyslexic. So it's really good to see the response to that remediation and really celebrate the results at that point as well.
And can I just say, for everybody listening too, Christy does a lot of her consultations over Zoom, which, some of us might think with our kids, oh, that's not going to work. And I have to say, I was a little apprehensive with my own son, but you are just were so amazing with him. And I want to share this story of he was doing so well on the test, wasn't he, that he was getting frustrated because it kept going and going and going. And he was saying, when is this going to end? And we were saying, but it's going longer because you're getting them all right and you're doing such a great job. So it was so insightful for me to see that as his mum as well, and as a parent, I suppose, because we don't see much of what our kids do academically at school. I can see how much he's grown and developed, but it was so interesting for me to see actually how much he knew. So that was really wonderful. So I hope that people will come and check out your work, come and see what you're doing, learn more from you at All Kids Can Education. I know that you're on Instagram as well, constantly sharing snippets of your work, which I think is just so incredible and inspiring. And I think it's one of the things too that we passionately talk about as educators. You and I both have a background in education. It's like we don't know, we don't know. You know what I mean? And we are lifelong learners. And it's okay to say we don't know this stuff. That's why there's people like you and I out there who have this incredible knowledge in our amazing brains. And the core of our mission and our work is to share it with as many people as we can, right?
That's right, because parents are so powerful. And that's why I hit the grassroots level and educate parents, because I want to teach them how they can help their child read at home. And that is the Step into Literacy course that I offer. Because a lot of the time when we go to schools, there's politics and there's money involved, and that it's a very slow ship to turn.
That's another
However,
podcast, hey?
if we can get in as parents, because we're around our kids all the time, let's become informed and know how we can help them, because it's not as hard as what you're thinking. It is easy, systematic, and once you've got the information, you run with it and you get the
Amazing.
results.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing your amazing brain with us today.
Such a
I hope
pleasure.
everybody listening has enjoyed the conversation. And see you next week for the next amazing interview on the Brain Train with the Child Charmer. Thanks for joining. Well, gang, that concludes another amazing episode of the Child Charmer podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you truly love the conversation just as much as me. I'd be so flipping grateful if you took the time to like or share this episode, or even better, leave me a review. Make sure you also subscribe so that you don't miss a thing. Come on over and join me on my Instagram page at Chrissy Chaos to Calm, where I am sharing daily snippets of my life, work, and play, and where I have built the most amazing supportive community, where I am always encouraging them to
have.